4 o'clock this morning, it seemed a lot more clear that I was to give this message than it does now. And yet one of the things that I have identified is that sometimes when I question things, then that's when the leading is not there. So I don't know. Anyway, I guess I'm going to go ahead with what seemed clear this morning, and yet seems like I'm preaching to the choir now. But anyway, we'll go ahead and I just tell you that's how I'm honestly feeling. How do we heal a broken relationship with God? It's often repeated that it is through Jesus' death on the cross. But I want us to take a closer look at that and what that means. First, we know that God takes the initiative and comes all the way to us. In John 1, we read, "The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." But Western theology has focused on an abstract legal theory to explain the meaning of the cross. This understanding has influenced our reading of Scripture, and it's really influenced our view of God. It shifts the focus from the resurrection and that Jesus lives to the crucifixion. The theory sees sin as a violation of justice and the cross as an appeasement of God's wrath. God becomes judge, meting out judgment on humans rather than a God of love. But a much better view of understanding how God redeems humanity is to consider the family rather than the courtroom, rather than a legal situation, to consider God's love within the family. God the Father and Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, and that we are adopted into this family as children of God. That God is a loving God who yearns to be reconciled with all people everywhere. So how does the cross bring about healing of relationships between God and humanity? The truth is, the cross is not about reconciling God to humanity, but about reconciling humanity to God. It's a lie that is often shared that we cannot look on sinners. In fact, it was actually in one of the songs we sang this morning. I went, whoops, I didn't catch that one. That though the glory, I could repeat it. If I looked at the words, then I could tell you what it said. Though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy. It is true that God is holy, but God can look at us even when we are less than perfect.
It doesn't say God doesn't see us, it says we can't see the full glory of God.
Oh, okay. Oh. Oh, I like that better. Thank you. You guys just fixed it for me. That is what it says. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, right. Now that I made a deal out of it, because I was feeling bad that I hadn't caught it. I'll read the whole verse. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love, in purity. So that we don't, in our brokenness, don't see God, the fullness of His glory, rather than the idea that God can't look upon us, which is in some music. God can't look on us because we sin, because we're less than perfect. And the Romans 5:8 says, "But God proves His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And when you look at Jesus, He hung out with sinners all the time. He ate meals with them. He got in trouble for hanging out with sinners big time. And He allowed sinners to touch Him. He allowed the woman of ill repute to wash His feet and dry them with her hair. do a scandalous thing. And then the prophet Hosea in the Old Testament demonstrates God's desire to be in a loving relationship. So that's all through Scripture that God loves us with this incredible love. But the legal theory of the cross makes it sound like God has sent Jesus to die. That God was demanding that someone pay for sin. The story of Pilate and the religious leaders demanding Jesus' death and of the Romans, that they all become agents then, necessary agents to enact this death of Jesus so that he could pay for our sins. But in that scenario, Jesus' death appeases God's wrath. But Jesus is God's beloved Son with whom he is well pleased. In John 14, Jesus explains that he and the Father are one, that whoever has seen Jesus has seen God, you can't separate them out, that they are one, and that they love each other. So in Jesus' suffering, we see the pain of the Father. And the cross demonstrates the compassion of God the Father. Truth is, the crucifixion was a scandal, and they killed an innocent man. And in submitting to the crucifixion, Jesus didn't run from evil and all that evil threw at him. Rather, Jesus submitted to the worst that this broken world could offer. He allowed himself to be misunderstood, slandered, convicted unjustly, and executed. But in dying, Jesus took all of the brokenness of the world into himself, the one who was perfect. The one who did not sin took all of the brokenness into himself. He absorbs all the hurt that our sins have caused. Yet he responds as he hangs on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And I think says to all of humanity, backwards and forwards, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." God simply loves through the suffering of the cross. But the miracle of the cross is that God did not stay dead. The cross killed him, but it couldn't hold him. It couldn't keep him. Jesus triumphed over death and returned to life. And in so doing, Jesus triumphed over sin and evil. Evil lost the ultimate conflict. In dying and rising again, Jesus broke the power of sin forever. In dying and rising again, Jesus enacted forgiveness for all people everywhere. And in that sacrifice, we are offered healing and grace to restore us to right relationship with God. Jesus' death wasn't a punishment for our sins. It was an act of solidarity with us that frees and transforms us. God and Jesus fully submitted to the human experience, the ultimate human experience, even in the act of dying. A very human thing. He became one with us in his life and through his death and resurrection to bring about healing and salvation. God became human for us and took it to the ultimate end. In so doing, God redeemed humanity. We live forgiven and free. As freed people, we are welcomed fully as children of God. Death and sin have no hold over us. None. And Jesus' ultimate sacrifice of love on the cross was not about reconciling God to humanity, but about reconciling humanity to God. And as reconciled persons, we live free. And we live as covenant partners with God, doing the work of God on this earth. As people who stand with God, reconciled and free, because of this miracle that we don't really understand. Of death and yet resurrection that changes everything. God has reconciled humanity to himself. Let's wait in open worship as we listen together.